Welcome to another episode of A Pint with Friends. Today's episode, my good friends and Mo Bros, Josh and Ray, come by. We sampled my very first homebrew. I made the White House Honey Porter. Since my first three episodes, I've gotten into homebrewing. Pretty exciting stuff, complicated, but also really just fun. And, you know, really, it's not really that complicated. But I'm doing new things, and I thought I was screwing it all up. But at the end of it, the beer turned out pretty gosh darn good. So here's the episode. Remember, if you want to donate to Movember, please check out my link, mobro.co/ScottSmith. You can also find our team, which is, do a search for Secondhand Mustache. You can donate to both Josh or Ray or all of us. Also my wife, Shannon, and a good friend of mine, Michael O'Brien, from way back in the day. He's on our team as well. So what is Movember, you might ask? Well, if you don't know, Movember is the now new name for the month of November. Movember is the month dedicated to raising awareness for prostate cancer and men's health. So the idea is that you grow a mustache in the 30 days and you try and raise money and you get donations and just all fun. You get to have a mustache. You look awesome. What could be better? So, and the important thing is that we're all raising money worldwide for prostate cancer research. If you don't know about it, definitely check it out at movember.com. It's probably also in a domain for your own specific country. So definitely get involved, and it's a great cause. And if you can donate, we would love a donation. So I hope you enjoy. Thanks so much.
Tomorrow. I said, careful, it's a juicer.
I've been saving this one forever.
Oh, man. Welcome, folks. Hey. We've already started recording. Thanks. Started with juicer, because I know,
you know when
how
Josh
to start
is,
a podcast.
When Josh is here.
Yeah. Well, it's always golden.
It's going to get a little bit icky.
Yeah, that's always. I think that was my reply. Yeah. So today we're going to start. The beer of choice is going to be my very first homebrew, which is the White House Honey Porter Ale, which I got off the old Winter's Net. The Winter's Net? And that's what I call the internet.
Winter web.
But it's seasonal. The winter web. It's chilly in here.
It is cool.
It is chilly.
So you're thinking seasonally.
Don't worry about the intros, because I will have done a little intro ahead of this, but my guests today are Josh and Ray, good friends. I don't know if we want to use last names or not, but we are promoting Movember. So your last names are going to be out there anyways.
That's right.
So that's
most of your
matters. So again, dial down the profanity. Well, no, you're okay with profanity. I'll do whatever the fuck you want. I don't give a shit.
Easy with the language. Come
sorry,
on.
Man.
Edit. You're the fag you want.
Easy. You and your sci-fi substitution of words.
Oh, like frack?
Yes.
Frag.
Feldercarp.
Oh,
easy nerf herder.
Nerf herder. Everybody's favorite.
Do you want to get the pop of the old White House Honey Porter?
Lean in there.
Oh.
You know it's carbonated. So we are about to do a taste.
Just so we're
sampling
that wasn't Ray's cherry.
No, because you would be followed by the sound of me lighting a cigarette.
I'll edit that in later. So one of the things that we're going to do, we're going to sample this, but we're going to sample it in two different ways. One is the frosted glass, which is now rapidly thawing.
Yes,
and then
not
the
frosted.
Second way is just regular glass.
Cold
room
glass,
temperature.
Anyways.
Cold glass. So because I'm a bad host, I'm going to start with myself.
And then pass the bottle.
And pass the bottle. That's a good idea. I was going to pour for everyone, but man.
Ray's practical.
He's
pragmatic.
So I've, this was, again, the first bottle of homebrew that I attempted to make.
Have you already talked about this on podcast?
I have not. I have not done a podcast in a lawful long time.
In a lawful long time.
Did I say lawful?
I think it's an unlawful.
Am I under oath? I don't have to say lawful.
I solemnly swear.
Yeah, I've just been busy and lazy and chasing after, I guess,
Amy?
chasing after some good guests, and I think I just need to just keep cranking them out and doing them because I will get better.
In which order are we going to do this? Now,
I think
is the beer again?
It's the White House Honey Porter, and that is from the recipe that the White House was actually brewing this year. Barack Obama is a home brewer. And when I say he's a home brewer,
it might have been the deciding factor. That's
right.
What you're saying.
That's right. That's right.
This is what won the vote.
You got a guy that drinks beer, and then you got makes beer, and then you got a guy who doesn't drink any alcohol at all.
Oh, teetotaler. Who wants one of them in office?
So what I would recommend, I think,
Frosty.
Go frosted first.
Cheers, young gentlemen.
Oh, that's fun. And if you say you hate it, I'm going to be crushed.
Good.
That's very nice.
I made beer, gentlemen.
But is it nice because of the frosted glass? That's the question.
Well, now... The beer is cold itself, so...
Now, try... I mean, the beer was cold directly from the fridge, but now try it in the regular glass and see if you can notice any flavor differences.
Instantly.
Really? Or are you bullshitting?
No. I smell more in this beer. There's more of an aroma.
It cuts out the flavor.
Yeah, it does. It just chills it so much that... I mean, there's still flavor. You still get that... You get that porter flavor, right? Which is delicious. But it's just cold porter.
Right.
None of the subtleties, the honey comes out in the warm glass. You smell it. Mm-hmm. Like when I put my face in the glass. Again, that might be the shape of the glass. Holds the flavor in there.
I could have done... two similar shaped glasses, but the science behind it is that the molecules are getting shocked so rapidly in the chilled glass that that's just going to mute all the flavor versus the open glass.
Well, in a lot of ways, that's why people like super chilled beer, because they don't really want to taste too much. I mean, like, think of Coors Light.
It's necessary with shitty tasting beer.
But that's what I'm talking about. So much shitty beer is like, if it's not cold, like, think about drinking a warm Budweiser.
Oh, there's,
right?
Yeah, if you don't drink that can fast.
You want to just slit your own throat,
right?
Yeah. But if it's super cold, okay, you can get anything.
It's refreshing because
it's
cold
enough,
right? That's right.
But, I mean, I think about... what are you laughing about?
It's the worst advertising ever. Warm Budweiser. Oh, that's enough to make you slash up.
Right. It's like cold McDonald's French fries, right?
Ooh,
like, terrible,
right.
Terrible, right?
Yeah, it's like kissing your grandma.
Well, if she's cold enough. When she's laid out on display. When it's open casket. One last,
They don't open the casket for no reason at all.
Right.
Last chili kiss.
I like a room temperature grandma. I am. Not too hot.
I guess.
Right.
Well, you get a fuller bouquet that way.
But and it's harder to find because you've got to get them out of the sweater first. You've got to get them acclimatized to the room, dial down the heat.
That's right.
It's harder to find.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
But it's like in Spinnaker's, just going back to the warm beer or warmer beer. Spinnaker's in Victoria, B.C.
Yep.
Has I remember going there in my early 20s, and they had... a beer on tap there that wasn't carbonated so much, and it kind of poured like
a Guinness, like warm Guinness.
Not quite like a Guinness, but it was just. I was told that it was more of like a British style ale, and so it wasn't room temperature, but it wasn't
cold
either. Yeah, and I remember having a hard time drinking it at first because it was too much flavor for me. It was more flavor than I was used to. I was more accustomed to that really chilled beer. That's what. How a beer is to be drunk.
Right.
Extra chilled.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight now, when I have a warmer beer, especially if it's one, not warm, I don't know that I ever like a warm beer, but certainly when a beer has a lot of flavor, if it's too cold, you miss a lot of the subtleties.
Usually it's still good.
Sure, it's still good, of course.
But I find if, like, 10 minutes later, you'll find it's like, wow, this beer is really good. Like, it has changed in the glass as it evens out temperature-wise.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. So this is all an indictment of Rick, right?
Of everybody, not just Rick.
Just Rick.
No.
This entire podcast.
I still keep a supply of frosted glasses in my freezer, and partly it's because I don't have the shelf space.
Mm.
Oh, and the other thing about the frosted glasses, if the glasses are in the freezer for too long, there's a chance that they can start absorbing molecules in their ice crystals from other things that are in the freezer, so then that could
bring
impact
their own flavor with them.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm a full believer in it now. When I do,
because where did this start? It started with You were telling us earlier about the Lost Souls.
Right. I recently had a Parallel 49's Lost Souls. It's their pumpkin chocolate porter, I think.
Yeah, okay.
And the first time I had it was at my friend Rick's place. And he served it to me in a frosted glass. And I, you know, drank it. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. But I didn't get the full flavor of it.
Yeah.
And then a week later, maybe 2 weeks later, you brought it. And I had it in a room temperature glass, and it was a completely different experience, just like
right.
what we're experiencing now.
More
there was more chocolatey, more pumpkin flavor to it. And I kind of reviewed it that first time and gave it a less than stellar review. I should re-review it.
So you re-reviewed it?
No, I should.
You re-evaluated your review.
I haven't yet.
Maybe you should.
But I should. I got a lot of growing up to do.
It's all that busy being lazy that you've been doing,
it's
right?
It's so time-consuming.
It is.
God. But I don't quit.
That's right, buddy.
I like to stick
keep
to
on
it.
Keeping off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's cool. I mean, so it's there really is something to it.
There is. Yeah,
that's what we're getting to.
Must in the same way that you would aerate wine and let it breathe, right?
That leads me to the wine thing. You brought one of them aerator guys.
Aerators.
You pour it in your ear, right?
That's right.
I've been drinking wine the wrong way forever.
Aerator. Yeah.
Didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's all right. That's all right. I was just
the point. Jumped on that topic.
Yeah. Oh, so you have one of those little plastic ones, or you just pour the wine through it into the glass?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a nuisance to use because it's handheld. You're kind of busy watching the aerator instead of the wine being poured. But
right.
I mean, I'm an adult.
But the idea behind it is you don't have to open the bottle. It
swishes it around. It pulls in air from the sides. There are these two little sort of air vents on either side. You can hear it going down.
We call those magic chambers.
Magic chambers, where the magic happens. The aeration. And
aeration, sir.
Yes, right. Aeration.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're listening to it and you're hearing
right.
it. So therefore, not wrong.
Bing.
Teachers.
I love busting them.
It's in place of using a decanter.
Right.
So you don't have to pour the whole thing on a decanter.
It's a single glass decanting as opposed to an entire bottle.
Exactly. And there is a significant difference, not just myself, but others have noticed. Yeah.
And are you a regular decanter of wine?
Well, I go through stages, right? I think I drink wine for about 2 months a year.
I'm drinking wine
right now, but the last couple times I drank wine, headache the next day, I think I may have maxed out. I think I might have hit my limit. Like I do with everything.
You gotta
like
stop buying the
beer.
Six packs of wine and drinking those. What is going on?
The other day it was just a bottle. The weekend before it was a bottle and a half.
Oh, but come on, like two glasses of wine and I'm three sheets to the wind.
Sorry,
that's from 16 candles.
Bing.
Do a long duck dong joke. Dare you.
I dare you. Every John Hughes illusion we get today there.
Bing. I love John Hughes.
Bing.
Long duck dong is what you should name your next beer. In honor
of man. You could have like ginseng in it.
Oh. The long duck dong.
Maybe
long
like a.
Now, yeah. What kind of beer will it be?
Well, I'm going to put ginseng in it and maybe some rice grains.
Maybe a ginger beer in and of itself.
Perhaps. I like
long
it.
Long duck dong ginger beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Long duck dong.
Think about
just
my
gingers anymore.
My second beer is actually raison d'etre, which is a dogfish head beer, and it's one of their recipes from my extreme brewing book, which is around here somewhere. And that is a beer made from raisins and Belgian candy sugar.
So really?
It has sort of a wine characteristic to it.
Maybe port-ish?
Perhaps. And smelling that and sampling that along the way over the last little bit while it was fermenting is quite different than this. It's really got just a crazy body and aroma to it, so I'm pretty excited about that.
When's that ready?
That'll be ready in 2 weeks. Just got bottled yesterday.
Oh.
So it'll be ready by
how long's the
American
bottling process?
Thanksgiving. Sorry?
How long's the bottling
Two
process?
2 weeks.
No, I mean like the actual bottling of it.
Oh, the bottling itself? Like how long does it take to put it into bottles?
Yeah.
It's like maybe... I mean, physically bottling, it's like 10 minutes. But the prep, you got to do the cleanup, you got to transfer it from the secondary fermenter back into the bucket so that you can just easier to bottle that way.
Right,
so
right.
There's a whole thing. So when I say 10 minutes, it really means 3 hours.
Okay.
Is it the same as bottling wine? You use the long tube, yeah,
yep.
And the wand, and yeah. just create suction?
That's right. I've invested, I don't know, probably like 150, I don't think. Maybe $200 in the time.
Sure.
But over time, like the ingredients that you buy for home brewing.
$20.
$20, $30. There's a couple malts, this sort of condensed malt that you have to buy that's in like a liquid form. The grains are really, really cheap, but the malt is usually about...
That's the most expensive part, right?
That's about $15.
Yeah, that's why my buddy James was saying that was the next step. They're going to make their own malt.
Gotcha.
To save that $4 or whatever it is, you know, to really trim off the overhead there.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, it's fun. I mean, that first experience with it, Shannon and I were making it, and, you know, I read the instructions a whole bunch of times, and it all seemed to make sense, and then we're getting down to do it, we're making it.
Do you wear cowboy hats while you're doing it?
Not with this one. This
overalls
one,
with no shirt
No, because
on.
It was presidential. We decided to put on our blue ties, and we totally suited up.
There you go.
And
not really pioneers, then. We're the
well,
elite.
No, because
you felt like the elite.
It's not, you know, like, you know, George Washington's beer. It's modern day. It's Barack Obama's beer.
Right.
So
right. I just
we
thought
went with that approach.
I thought that you felt like pioneers. Like, you know, you were, you know,
no, I felt...
Digging your fingers in the soil. And, you know,
not then.
Smelling it.
Not yet. I did do that.
It.
I did taste it. I tasted
the
every
soil.
Every not the soil, but the grains.
Mm.
The grains were good. So, but starting with that beer, I thought was going to be like a really, really great place to start, and it wasn't. The instructions were bad, and it's sort of like once you get into it, once you start it, you're realizing like, oh, this totally doesn't make sense, even though I've read it a dozen times. And part of that was because the White House just didn't write great instructions, but they also released a video, and what they were
the
doing...
The White House didn't write good instructions.
What the...
Go figure.
What
yeah.
The White House chefs did not give
They were hired by the White House. So,
they were.
You know.
They also had a video, and the video didn't match what the instructions were.
Oh,
so...
Awesome.
That was a little confusing.
Hoteling.
But
plausible deniability, ladies and gentlemen. We may or may not have given you the correct instructions on how to make this beer. Possibly.
So fortunately, I got onto the old interwebs in between Facebook and Twitter. I got a couple responses from people from Van Brewers. And I was also getting help from some guy randomly that lives in northern Nevada.
What's his name? Julian...
I don't know.
Ferengi?
Is he a homebrewer? He's a Ferengi.
No, the WikiLeaks guy.
Oh, I
he's a Ferengi. You have some big ears you got there, Baldy.
Love's a good deal. I think that's what they're about, aren't they?
Calls us humans. Little Deep Space Nine for all you Trekkie geeks out
there. I've got a Star Trek related story that I'm going to throw in later.
Really?
Starring Will Wheaton.
Oh,
yeah, I'll get that. Okay, there is a...
This is an episode of
You are
Big
so
Bang
excited.
Theory.
You are so excited. No, there is
Will
a...
Wheaton looks nothing like Will Wheaton now. When you showed...
But he's a gamer,
that link...
He's a gamer.
When you sent me that link, though...
Yeah.
I was like...
Who's this guy? Well, that was Will Wheaton.
Emily came by and was like, oh, is that Will Wheaton? I didn't see it in his face at all.
Yeah.
He looks like...
A 40-year-old as opposed to a 12-year-old?
Well, he's got a beard. I mean, he still kind of has a baby face.
I mean, hey, Haley Joel Osment still looks like Haley Joel Osment, or, I don't know.
Richie Cunningham?
I mean, granted, they're not that
Ron
much
Howard.
Older. But
Ron Howard still looks the same.
One
only balder.
What's his name from Tomcats, that kind of crappy actor who was also in Stand By Me? He was the fat kid in Stand By Me.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Also Will Wheaton.
Married to
Jerry O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay, he still looks... I mean, I can see his face in the fat little kid.
Fair enough.
You know, but the Will Wheaton now,
you don't
I couldn't see it.
You don't see any Wesley
see
Crusher there.
No, I don't see any
That's
Wesley
true.
Crusher.
That's funny.
I don't see it. His, like, face is broadened out.
I bet you he would love you if he met you and you said that.
Because
everybody else, and you look just like that little boy in the unitard from Star Trek Generations. And he's probably thinking, I'm going to grow a mustache and murder all these people.
He's got a beard.
Or just go live in my mom's basement and play board games.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
If I
so
could
my will, my
work,
will.
That's right.
He is a gamer. He does,
they let
he does,
me grow
he does play games. He's got, right now, I mean, he's still got his Star Trek money, obviously. So now he's living the dream. He's a home brewer. And he's
hardcore...
He hosts an online TV series where they play board games.
Which is really kind of dull, right? Really.
Sure. It is. And they're long videos. But if they're good guests around the table, then it can be pretty entertaining.
So does he have people that are semi-famous?
He does. Semi. Yeah, yeah.
Some, by semi, I mean I think, local geeks that he really knows.
Whoopi Goldberg was on one.
Really?
Gary Coleman.
He wishes.
No. Gary Coleman, it turned out, was Whoopi Goldberg.
There's no, there hasn't been a Star Trek related. They should make it together and play Star Trek Attack.
Patrick,
that would be amazing.
I'm sure that's an upcoming episode.
Engage.
Or maybe like, no, I refuse.
Refuse.
Number one, come on, roll my dice for me.
Shut up, Wesley.
Give me a reach around.
My Will Wheaton story is this. There's an app that I use called Untapped, and it's basically you check into the beverage that you're drinking, so you can have an archive and collection of everything you drink and rate it and that kind of thing.
What?
Yeah.
You
it's just
this
like,
out before, I think.
Yeah, so what probably if? Have. So basically, when I drink a beer, I can rate it, upload a photo, and then I've got a collection of all the beers that I sampled. For me, it was a great way to...
Have you put your own presidential beer on there?
This is the fun part, is that I was drinking other beers, and then one day I just stumbled upon Will Wheaton's Twitter account, I think because he tagged something as hashtag for homebrew. I thought, oh, he homebrews. And then I noticed that he messaged Untappd and said, hey, can my homebrew have a logo on it? And which means that can you basically create your own brewery on Untappd? So I thought, oh, well, Mr. Fancy Pants celebrity gets to do whatever the hell he wants kind of thing. And so like a week later, I thought, well, I should shoot them a message. Because I thought, well, maybe you had to get like a certain number of people
did
to do it.
Did Will Wheaton write you back?
Not yet, but we are friends. He accepted my friend request on Untappd. So,
friends.
Yeah.
So, by friends,
do they call it brew buddies?
We're brew buddies.
Oh.
So we're buddies.
No wonder you didn't recognize him. He's become animated.
So
by friends, you mean he clicked a button beside your name.
Yeah, but he did not have to accept me, but he saw something in me, man.
Yeah. What did he see?
Future stalker.
I don't know. He saw what you see.
I see more than he sees, Scott.
Because Will Wheaton's not here.
Not lately, because I haven't trimmed. I'm talking about my mustache, and that leads us to Movember.
Movember.
Oh my God, it's awesome! What other words can
hey,
so we are doing
the kitchen jams.
The title of this episode is going to be A Pint with Mo Bros. Because I'm joined today by two members of my team. Actually, three. One's in the background. Making chili.
Without a mustache.
Drinking.
She's a most sister.
The most sister. Most drinking some cold beverage.
Straight absinthe.
Straight absinthe.
Gay ale.
You still have the gay ale?
It's the last one. I was saving that for lemon and... It's going to go in the chili.
Oh?
It's gay ale chili.
Oh, gay chili.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Nothing at all. So, Movember. We are growing mustaches.
You love the Movember.
Because I love them. This is my third mustache in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah, I never.
It's more than a stash this year, though.
It's a lot of porn.
It's kind of a combo.
It's a lot of porn.
It's goatee.
It is the combo horseshoe with the Buffalo Bill.
Oh.
The Buffalo Bill is the extended. And so the look that I'm going for, if I was to actually not be lazy today and trim it up better, it's the 1990s George Michael look.
Speaking of
gay. So is this pre-bathroom masturbation or
this
post?
This is exactly that era.
Oh, this is all hands
so
on.
So I'm thinking.
So when you say handlebar.
Yeah, exactly. So this, to me.
You're talking about that great bar in the bathroom when needs to get up.
That's right. Right. That is right. So this
after a session alone. Or with friends.
That's correct.
So this mustache was actually the first mustache that I wanted to go, but I feel like this was kind of like, I wasn't ready to come out with this mustache. It took me 2 years till I was comfortable.
You're going
to
keep that sash in the closet.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I really was. And then the second year, I thought I got close. I grew a little bit longer, had the thing down below.
Are we going to have something coming out today that we
this is a very
should I sit down
pro gay mustache.
Yes.
So it's very accepting. Yes. And it's changing things. It's going to change a lot of things. And then
this mustache. You give your mustache a hell of a lot of credit.
I do. And not only that, if this mustache wants to listen to some '80s pop,
Or watch Emma.
It's gonna get down.
It's gonna get down. It's gonna wear some bright colors.
Awesome dance music.
Some dance shoes.
Yeah. So it's.
You ever read any Nikolai Gogol?
Is that a book?
Author.
With words.
Does he tweet? Gogol?
With Gogol? Words or with pictures?
Did he tweet?
A Russian author.
Never sent me an email.
He wrote one story called The Overcoat, which was made into a play. He also wrote another one called
Streaking.
Didn't Hit the Nose. And he, it's about the narrator, the protagonist, wakes up one morning, nose is gone.
Yep.
And it's like become like a member of parliament or something like that. He sees his nose with a, you know, regal cape or something like this, and it's going on and carrying on a life of its own. I was thinking maybe this might be like the story of your mustache.
When I shave it off, it's going to go and find a young boy.
It's going to be your mustache is going to be out there like pride parades.
Beautiful.
Covered in rainbows. Studs of leather. Yeah.
It's times like this. Good God, I wish I could draw and like animate and do those kind of things.
I know.
Got 100 ideas, but yet no talent in that arena.
What about the little do 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 do?
That is computer. Exactly how I do my work.
Yeah. And then Shannon, reaches over and smacks her.
Do you make the sounds?
My favorite part in, let's say.
There must be an app that you can make the keys make those sounds.
But isn't that the sound from Jeopardy?
My favorite part of any movie where there's like a team of people standing around and they're like working on photos and it's all typing. Yeah. There's no mouse whatsoever. It's like, enhance, do this. Like, that's just. Yeah. Totally how we work.
And they're all doing it with the like two big fingers.
Yeah. That's right.
It's like
I'm a computer genius.
People don't know how computers work.
It's like in Swordfish with the Hugh Jackman. How do you make hacking exciting?
You got a blowjob with a gun in your head.
You got to have a lot of screens, bottle of wine,
Halle Berry.
Rock and roll music.
Topless Harry Berry? Lots of Harry Berry.
Haley Berry.
Topless Harry Berry.
Harry Valley.
Again, we're back to the gay mustache.
That's right.
Harry Berry.
And didn't you go on earlier? Something like a glory hole or a manhole?
Well, I came up. One of my heroes is Steve Jobs, and he has taken the approach of reinventing different things. And so one day last year, after I was basking in the glow of last year's Movember, I thought, what hasn't been done?
The hair hole.
The mustache.
The manhole.
So I thought, well, what hasn't been done is the enclosed circle around the lips. We're heavy top lip. But not a lot gets full around. So I thought, what if you could complete the circle that's creating
the circle of life?
Hair hole, manhole.
Hair hole.
I kind of like glory hole.
Well, it depends how you're using it.
Or who's using it.
Or the German versions, right? What were they at start?
Meinhole!
Meinhole!
Das ist Meinhole!
Hair hole.
There's a lot of
hair hole.
So I thought, what if I could be the pioneer of the manhole.
Nice.
But
I
auditioned.
Would you just own up to it, buddy?
But I felt, not only do I feel I'm not ready, but I don't think the world's ready to see
the manhole.
It's just, there is a reason why that has never been done.
That's why they're always covered up with big metal lids. Yeah. Cover that manhole.
Pure evil down there, man. Yeah,
that's right.
Chum lives there. Right. Chum.
Chud.
Chud.
And Chum.
Chum. Chud. That's how we get the Chud. We throw out some Chum. Come to my manhole, little Chud. But a continuation of that might be for next year, the understash.
Why does the stash always have to be...
Yeah, why does it have to be between the nose and the upper?
You could basically do the reversal of mine. Have the little hair up top.
Exactly. Gotta be careful with that one.
Oh.
But you would have the lower level, so you'd be okay.
I can't do it.
See, that was the problem.
No one can go there.
I have the gap.
Well, some people can. Yeah, like
my father, for instance. Is
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. Oh, yeah.
He's got a pole.
Yeah, but Chuck Norris, if you look closely, you can tell it's pubic hair that he's used a little spirit gum and just stuck it on.
That's right.
It's just way too curly.
Yeah. So you gotta work with what you got.
Crimped. This is good beer, Scott.
Crimping facial hair.
Yeah, thank you.
You should be proud.
I am proud of it.
How much do you have left?
In fact, you should be in the White House.
That's my vote. 4 more years.
I vote for you.
That's funny. Too.
I've got...
vote for the manhole.
I've got 5 or 6 liters left. So 5 or 6
liters. 5 or 6 liters. That's out of 18. For an alcoholic.
You've done good work.
You get about 18 liters of beer.
And with all your pre-sampling,
and you give it away like
16?
4 or 5?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Shared.
We brought two to the Van Brewer.
That's right, I brought two to the Van Brewers meeting. That was the other fun little bit of the summers. That's how I got into it.
Van Brewers.
How often do they meet?
They meet the last Thursday of every month.
Have you met with...
I've gone to one meeting so far, and I officially joined.
Graham Witt.
That is very, very soon. It was supposed to be Wednesday, Thursday, but then he ended up being sick, so was unable to attend. Mm-hmm. We've been a lot of scheduling issues with that, but I keep harassing him, and he keeps saying yes. So I'm going to keep harassing him.
All right.
And he's going to keep saying
yes. And so he is the he's the head brewer at Parallel 49, and he also is the...
Not even up and coming. They're doing really well.
They're killing it.
They're established.
Yeah, they're totally established.
Within 3 months.
I know, it's pretty crazy. But they make great beer.
Yeah.
And so he is also the guy that started Van Brewers, which is basically the club of all
home
brewers.
Oh, he started
in
BC.
Yeah.
One of the founding members.
One of the founding. I think he started it.
So it's a pretty elitist club. You have to brew beer to get in.
You do not.
Well, we showed it. That's how we kind of got introduced.
Yes. Shannon and I and Shannon's mom was visiting, and we went. They had a Parallel 49 had basically a free tour day where you got to come down.
Have you been to the tasting room down on Tron?
Oh my goodness!
They gave you free tasters.
Yes. People of Earth, if you come to Vancouver and go to Parallel 49, you will get free samples of beer.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I think it's a great approach because you're gonna leave buying something.
I told them
though
that what they should do is what they do up at Tree Brewing.
Okay.
Is $2 goes to a local charity, and you can sample everything on the menu for $2.
That's a nice idea.
Because it's like, you know, it's nothing, right? $2. No one cares about that. But then
it
sort of feels like it's going to something.
So some local homeless guy sits by the door, you chuck him a tune, and you get a sample.
Yeah, well, it's down on Triumph.
There you go. Yeah. So
pick your charity. It's out there.
We have John, we have Jack, this is Marie. Yeah.
But, you know, when I was in Kelowna last summer, Tree Brewing had, it was like the local SPCA that month. And they do a different charity every month.
Right.
Am I registering a little low?
You're so laid back, man.
I don't want to showcase. You
want
to
dominate?
I don't want to dominate.
Dominate, bruh.
No. All you, bruh.
Wow. Love fest.
Yeah.
Do you feel uncomfortable?
No. When you guys get naked and start rubbing oil, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I'm naked already, so I just need the oil.
Oh, man.
Who wants to mop me down? That's how I like it.
Shannon,
with your mustache.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hey, I don't call this the Creepy Pete for nothing.
Have you named? Obviously, you have.
It's the Creepy Pete.
Wow. Yeah. Did you name your mustache?
Wow, I just swashbuckler. I don't know. The Buccaneer?
No, how about the buckle swasher?
Creepy people, that's good.
Creepy. I look like a creepy.
He needs a bowler hat, don't you think?
Oh, I'd love to see you in a bowler hat.
Actually, I told Josh I'm his Hulk version. When he becomes enraged at students at work, he turns into me. Das ist verboten! Starts laying waste to teenage Chinese boys. You will read, you will learn!
Man.
Cool.
So, I don't know, did I finish the story of how I met? Oh, okay, so we went to this Parallel 49 tour. Got the tour, got some samples, great tasting beer. Then after the tour is over, I asked Graham if he'd want to be part of the podcast. He said yes. Then we hung out a little bit more in the tasting room. Then he came back up to me and said, "Don't tell me a little bit more about the podcast." Then he started telling me about the Van Brewers thing and like asked me if I did any home brewing. And I said, "Leave that stuff to the experts, man. It's so easy just to buy it." And then, but then when I left there, I think like a week later, I think you and I started talking about home brewing.
No, but
a little
he had
bit
also
too.
Offered.
Well,
he invited you to the annual.
Every summer they've got just a gathering in somebody's house,
which
and
was great.
Just,
I just kicked myself so fiercely for being hungover that day.
Yeah.
So the band home parties.
Okay, they get together once a month and they do little things. It's not just a drinking club, but they'll be talking about brewing and the process, exactly. And you bring a bottle or something like that just to share to get feedback and ask questions and that kind of thing. But this one event in the summer is just like a day long. Bring the kegs. Afternoon party. And so we walked in there, and there was already like 10 or 15 kegs all rigged up with different taps.
Yeah.
And then literally every 5 or 10 minutes, a new keg would arrive.
Huh. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And I was so hungover.
And I was designated driver. So it was ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
But. And so you should have swapped out,
been the designated driver.
Well, to be fair, we'd already planned to go to see Back to the Future in the park, which was freaking awesome.
It was.
We could have easily screwed over our wives and stayed there all day, and you know.
But had I been a little bit more, you know, in the right state of mind and body, I would have got.
You weren't quite yet. Yeah.
So what you're saying is, had the opportunity arisen with a clear mind, I would have screwed my wife over.
Exactly. This is worth the pain I'm going to get later.
I could have still made it to the movie, but I just would have showed up blindingly drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll show you Back to the Future.
But you know what?
That was an important... The future is really, really sloppy and drunk.
That was an important day for me because not only... Like, when we tried, every single beer we had was literally, like, some of the best beer I'd ever had.
Right.
And I don't know if it was just because of the setting. It was awesome. It was a beautiful day. But also, we got to go see Back to the Future in the park and realize how crazy Marty McFly sleeps. Remember the crazy-ass position that he was in all around? Okay. That's a good moment, because I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Look that up.
That's what tied the day together.
I capped it. And then that started me on my path to home brewing.
Right.
Well, it still took me a couple months to get together.
Marty McFly has taken a lot of people on all sorts of strange journeys.
Yes. He really has.
I got to hit the head.
Do you? Take a little break? Well, then we'll just get back in here with the... Hey, I'm going to ask you a question, Josh, which is, what's your favorite celebrity mustache? So you think about that in there. Do you have a favorite one, Ray?
Well, I have two, actually.
Oh.
Huh, I'd have to pick two. I have Charlie Chaplin. Classic.
Right. Then Hitler had to come along and ruin it.
I know.
Fucking dick.
We'll get into that next podcast.
Because that was really the worst part of what he did, is steal the mustache.
That's right. That's right. He did. He ruined that. And the thing about that mustache is it's so easy. I mean, everybody can do the Hitler. But no one's
We're talking about the mustache growing, not the genocide.
Yeah, back up. That takes way more organization than most people have time for.
But it is. Technically, it's called the toothbrush, the official term for that mustache. And it is. It's kind of a proper, clean-cut mustache.
Very simple, clean.
It's cutesy.
And I was also a big fan of Magnum P.I.
I mean, that's the iconic 80s mustache. That's the mustache to measure every mustache against.
And the fact that he realized that that was sort of his signature, and... Well, hello.
I would say six disc set. I would say it's the secret of his power.
It is.
Because have you seen him when his mustache is gone?
Yes.
What the hell am I looking at?
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy. That's weird. Oh, he has the mustache again. Thank goodness.
He didn't have a mustache for a while.
There's a couple movies where he shaved it off. I'm thinking Runaway, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Runaway.
There's a couple of others. I mean, he doesn't do it.
But then he comes back to television on that cop show. I don't even know if it's still on. It came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Blue Bloods or something like that.
Yeah, Blue Bloods. I believe that's...
Never watched it.
He's the police chief or some...
Gotta have a mustache when you're police chief.
But, I mean, it was Magnum P.I., just older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had the same stash, the same hair, just a little salt and pepper going on.
Right.
Very dignified. I'm sure the ladies loved him.
Josh, favorite celebrity mustaches?
Salvador Dali.
Whoa. Dali.
Dali. I am Dali.
Oh, that is a good mustache. That would take a lot of effort, though. A
lot of wax.
You're not growing that in a month.
The gentleman that works at the Brick has one. Or he can
grow.
Yeah, he can grow, and it happens, like, in 2 weeks. He's like, he's like, if I don't shave, he's like, I'll look like Lanny McDonald.
Oh,
that's
my favorite sports mustache,
which is our next topic. The Lanny McDonald.
And he was doing that for a while. Really, one day I was just sitting in the truck, and I was twisting around, and it actually stayed. And he's like, So he went out and he found some mustache wax, and he did it, and it looked awesome. It comes down, and the big. It wasn't just a little, like it was.
He's doing the spiral?
A full spiral. Like it went around, like, because he's.
I gotta meet this guy.
Looks so good.
Emily was hell bent on me growing this out and waxing it a bit this year.
Well, I'm like.
A little Kentucky Fried.
If it was me. Curl.
I don't know if I want to.
You'd have to cut this off. Yeah, I'd have to cut that off,
And just do it here.
Yeah.
And commit to like the next 3-4 months.
You'd have to start.
No, but they don't have to be huge, right? Like, I mean, they can.
That's what she said.
Tiny little darts.
Yeah.
Well, and thank God she said that.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she was sorely disappointed.
But her fingers were crossed. Which is weird, just like at the wedding.
All right, I gotta go.
See you later.
It was funny until you talked about her crossing her fingers.
We'll edit that out.
Probably won't.
Yeah, that's how we're going to start the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how we're going to end the podcast.
Juicy and marriage.
Hey, I'm popping my cherry.
When we do the...
She wasn't a virgin.
I'm planning on doing a remix version of this in honor of the 80s.
So there's going to be a flock of seagulls in the background?
That's right. That's right.
There it is, Scotty.
But you should grow that as a mustache.
The flock of seagulls.
Here comes
just ride heavy.
No, just two wings.
Animate them. So that would be the next thing if you could animate the mustache.
Well, question. Do you know what bageling is? Have you guys?
Oh yes, I've seen that video. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so
it looks so bad.
Okay, so apparently the Japanese have technologically advanced so far that they're just simply bored out of their skull and have decided to stick saline.
Were you watching it at my house?
Yes, you showed it to me and I've showed it. And they stick saline in the forehead.
It takes like about 3 hours.
Yeah, a couple
hours. Like that.
Because if they do it too fast, it's obviously going to separate the skin from the skull.
Nobody wants a fast bagel.
Yeah, and it gets all puffed up. Yeah, and it looks like a bagel.
And then the guy presses his thumb in the middle.
Right, that's how they get
it. And then it holds, and then it's just this like big puffy circle.
I have seen this. Now, how long does this last?
16 hours.
Yeah.
So totally worth it.
Yeah. If you want to walk around looking like somebody slapped you in the back of the skull with a bagel.
So ridiculous.
I mean, I could understand if they were wearing...
It just doesn't look good.
No, that's retarded. It looks terrible. But I could imagine if you were wearing some really great like makeup that made you look like an alien or something, right? Like you had spots and shit. Like,
but
you look,
why a bagel? I don't know.
I bet you.
It's just the first generation.
No, it was some drunk guy or whatever, and he stuck saline in there, and somebody went boom, and then
hey bagel,
and then they convinced some drunken girl to do it, and she convinced her drunken girlfriends to do it, so she would look like she the only one with a vagina on her forehead.
No,
man.
A hair hole.
Man. Oh, my God. A hairy bagel.
The hairy bagel.
It's no different than that the collagen like a, lips.
No, it's just better, probably.
That line is crazy, because I see the kids, you know, with their big, giant hoops, and, I mean, I had my ears pierced, and they're still pierced.
Kids.
But the, you know, I mean, today they're doing the thing with the big...
What do they call it?
What are those things called?
Oh, they're
just
they're stretching.
Screwing up your lobe. Yeah.
They're stretching it out.
You know, earrings.
Grommets.
Take it out, but you're committing.
I can't
wait until them motherfuckers are 80 years old.
Well, you can already see it, guys.
Why? They'll have their little
grandchildren
on
the
swings.
Because
there won't be any trees left, right?
Right.
So it's, hey, Grandpa, can I swing on the tire? Swing. And then they'll be, damn it, you're getting heavy there, Jimmy.
I remember when I went on my first lobe swing.
Why do your lobes smell bad?
Yeah, it's not for me.
No.
Could be.
I mean, some of them it looks good. I mean, when it's not too huge. But then it gets to a certain point where I'm like, they're going back.
No,
guys.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right. And that's
it.
That's the thing.
But that's what they said about tattoos as well. And
yeah, but I mean, unless the tattoo is on your face.
A tattoo, regardless, is still a work of art. I mean, some tattoos are bad.
I agree. Stretched out baggy earlobes is not a work of art.
No.
Good band name.
It just looks kind of...
Yeah. And
stretched out baggy lobes.
The thing is, a lot of these, you know, there is, you know...
Kids today.
There's history to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's tribal symbolism. It's a, you know, this
with the stretch out of your lobes.
All of that.
And
stuff.
Then the plate in the
lips. Well, then let's do the neck thing. Let's put the rings around the neck.
Right.
I want to see that, hipster.
Plate in the lips.
do that shit.
Yeah.
Then I will be impressed.
We were actually talking about lip plating last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Hashtag lip plating.
The debate came up, was it only done in Africa? And I'm like, no, South American tribes did it as well.
Oh, great.
Because I had made some comment about lip plating, and of course I was then called a racist. Oh, what? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, people in South America did it as well. So,
what do you think is the deal with that? I mean, obviously, it's just a...
The plate?
It's
a vision of beauty. It's like the...
But I'm wondering why.
Most likely, it would be the same as the Mayans putting gold and... what's the blue
stuff? But gold I can get on board with, because I'm thinking, okay, gold is shiny, it's right. Kind of, it catches the eye.
Again, it's just a show of wealth. I can afford
to
do this. I can have, they're just the same thing with the stretching of the neck, the women in Africa. It's not just that. It's a sign of beauty. Like that's. I mean,
I get that. I'm just, and I mean, maybe beauty is always going to be this nebulous.
It is. It's a subjective thing.
I mean, why does the bird puff out and do his little dance? You know, those birds of paradise.
Yeah. And why is it always the guys?
And we get that's right.
No, man.
It's so hard,
showy.
No. And then the ladies is like, please.
But reality is in our society, it's all the ladies that are dressing up.
That's correct.
And uncomfortable.
Right. I don't think there's
exposing.
I'm sure them tribes are looking at us and saying the same crazy shit.
Look how much skin they're showing.
Well, there you go. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not stretching out the body so that lip is never going to be able to close.
I guess that's my biggest issue. Just the point of no return.
Are never going to pull back.
And to me, that's...
Whereas, you know, okay, I can wear some ridiculous shoes, but... I could take them off at the end of the day. And to me... I'm not actually binding my feet.
Right.
To make them tight.
You're not wrapping them in paper and dipping them in water?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
And that
did you make your wife?
No, they're actually really just this small.
Oh. Yeah,
that's it.
Size 2s. Who needs toes?
For me, that's why I can't commit to a tattoo, because what I think is freaking awesome right now is not necessarily what I'm going to be later on.
It probably is. At this age? Come on.
Well, I know, but I don't know if I can afford to do my giant unicorn thing on my back.
What, the picture of Obama with
When are you going to get the cross bandoleras?
That is an excellent
tattoo.
Just from
one nipple to the other. Hooked in with nipple rings.
No, we designed a whole...
Two bullet belt and the holster on the side.
Yeah.
Hello.
And then, what is it called? The sort of mutilation? I wanted to have, like, little finger, like, belt loops so that I could... Put that through my hips. So self-mutilation, so I can have little thumb grabbers.
Well, that's what you can do. Instead of putting the hoops in your ears, you can start hip-hipping.
Yeah.
Hip-hooping. Hip-hooping.
Hip-hooping.
Hip-hooping. Wait, don't say it too fast. Hip-hooping. It's a bigger colostomy.
Hip-hooping.
I'm hip-hooping.
It's Swedish. Hip-hooping.
For my intestines don't work.
I'm going to change up the topic, and I'm going to go back to sports. Stash.
Okay.
Lanny McDonald was already, and that was going to be my one.
Oh.
Actually, I don't even think I did my famous celebrity
one. You did not.
Okay, it's not really... The movie... What is his name? Oh, God. He's in Lincoln, but it's the movie... Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York, which is pretty much that same waxy stash, but that's an impressive mustache.
The ringmaster.
And the real deal, I'm sure.
The ringmaster, right? That's what you would call it? That's where it sort of comes from?
Kind of. He's got the top hat.
Yeah. That is one of my faves. That's partly because you can't go wrong with Magnum.
No. I mean, come on. It is a standard.
So we got to go with the second one.
Mm-hmm. But that is, like, the most emasculating mustache ever. I look at that and I'm just like, that's a man. I'm not.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm not a man. That's a man.
That's not me. Can't do it.
That there. Look at that.
I know, the whole package.
What has he got? What's that photo of?
The breast shadow. I mean, he's got so much chest.
The chest plate. Yeah.
It's like he hunted down somebody else, shaved their hair. Just how dare you be hairier than me?
You know what's fun about season one?
He's greasier.
Totally different theme song.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
And this was back in the day.
It's Magnum Origins.
Because Rick, this was back when Rick was more with Ice Pick, and part of that whole, he was the gangster.
Yeah, Rick owns a club.
No, TC
is the same.
TC is the helicopter pilot. He's They're all.
He's got an actual business.
Yeah, they're all.
Sorry, I just went racist, didn't I? You said gangster and club, and I was like the black guy.
well,
because I thought the show was being racist.
That's correct.
Not yes. me.
And you're just reporting on the facts.
And to be fair,
oh, damn it, I just did it too.
To be fair, you're from Vancouver. Had there been an Asian guy on this photograph, you would have picked him.
Right.
I think what I'm actually revealing is my lack of
love of black people.
My lack of knowledge about yeah, and my love of people that are black.
Yeah, I'm actually quite excited about your Christmas Magnum.
Our Christmas with Magnum theme party.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it. Yeah. It was originally the first idea I had was a Cosby Christmas.
A lot of sweaters,
and I thought it was too close to the ugly sweater themed kind of parties.
Yeah, but it'd be
but it would be fun.
There's nothing wrong with that. Anyways, I would have come as Trudy.
Rudy.
Wrong show. No.
Sorry. Offshoot.
And the best.
No, that's facts of life.
Yeah,
I really. Really, the thing that wasn't. Malcolm Jamal Warner wasn't available. He couldn't make the date.
Malcolm Jamal Warner is the reason I got my ear pierced.
Get out!
Really? Your first man? Well, because of his man crush?
Cockroach?
No.
Hey, cockroach! She's a cheeseburger. Double cheeseburger. With extra bacon.
No, there's an episode where he shows up, he had his ear pierced.
Oh,
it was
right.
A big, you know, big
wow.
family conflict. And
right.
It's big, like, I want to do that.
I'm doing that.
The daughter with dreads is having sex in the back room. And that's
with a guy with unmatching socks.
Exactly.
Oh.
And he was white.
No, he was just a light tone.
Oh,
man.
Right.
That was Lisa Bonet's boyfriend. What was Lisa Bonet's character's name? Denise.
No, that wasn't Denise. That was the oldest sister's.
Lisa.
Oh. No, Lisa's around. It was,
it was the eldest sister's boyfriend.
Yes, who was rarely on. We just can't. She was away
in college.
Well,
in the later season,
back. That's
she was.
True. When they needed babies to recycle the show and make
and when
it awesome
Lisa,
again.
Lisa Bonet was only on it for a few seasons.
That's
then
true.
She was like, you know what? Cosby, I am not.
I'm banging Lenny Kravitz, and I got my own show.
Exactly.
Or I got my own show, and then I'm banging Lenny Kravitz.
I was in the movie Angel
Different
Heart.
World.
And I had a pistol shoved up my whoop whoop.
Hello.
What?
You've never seen the movie Angel Heart?
Yes, I have. A pistol is shoved up her whoop whoop.
And that's how she dies.
I don't remember
good
that.
God.
She's lying on
I
the
know. Bed. I remember Robert De Niro's character's name is Louis Cipher.
That's correct.
Lucifer. You get it?
I get it.
You get it?
Wait,
Louis Cipher? It took me, like, I didn't
what?
Get that until, like, the
really?
11th hour. And I was like, wow.
Whoa.
Hold on.
Any idea? Yellow eye.
Hold on.
Newsflash.
That was a great movie.
Love that Cosby show.
Back when, what's his name?
Bill Cosby.
No.
Brain's not working on Sunday, apparently. Back when,
I'll help you out, buddy.
The actor, come on.
From The Wrestler.
Oh,
we're all...
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey.
Jesus
right.
Christ.
Before he destroyed his face?
Before his face,
before
yeah,
he, no, before he pretended he was a boxer and somebody else destroyed his
and
face.
And then he had reconstructive surgery, yeah.
And then, well, now he has the lipo in the lips.
Yeah. Oh, does he ever?
Oh, my
man.
God. And
he looks like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Linda Hamilton.
So that's like, he looks like Ron Perlman?
He looks like Ron Perlman. He looks like Ron Perlman's Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Did I say he looks like the Beauty from Beauty?
No, you said he looked like the Beast, and then you said Linda Hamilton.
No,
and you're correct.
That's what James Cameron thought.
A little bit. Kind of like their child. He looks like their child. He looks like Linda Hamilton and the Beast's child.
Ooh.
Man. I like Linda Hamilton.
I love Lima Hamilton.
Sure
I think
do.
Your beer works.
It's not just
I think
me.
Your beer works.
Yeah.
What percent do you think this is?
I believe it is a...
32?
That's right. It said it was going to be a 5, but it feels more. Feels like closer
more.
To a 7. The latest beer is going to be an 8%er.
Ooh.
Which is exciting.
Well, the percentage does go up as you... Wait, right?
Well, that... I. No, this is what I've yet to really figure out. I think the percentage is quite, and I'm probably totally wrong on this, but I'll record this for posterity of me being wrong. But alcohol is determined fairly quickly. It has to do with the sugar and the gravity rating. There's this whole deal. I thought that you're gaining alcohol as you go on because I expected my gravity reading to show more alcohol, but at the end of the process, the gravity reading was lower. But that's just because the gravity reading is just based
it's
on how much sugar
right?
is still in the liquid.
Right.
And that gets all fermented out, or the yeast uses the sugar, and that's what creates the alcohol. So I still don't quite have a good understanding of
it's
of
not
what
like a hard alcohol. When I know you when put I went through the processing, right? If you know, right, like bourbon, you reprocess it, it becomes scotch. You reprocess it, it becomes whiskey, and they all have higher alcohols. They all have smoother tastes.
Look at that guy.
Hey, I went to the Jameson's factory in Ireland. I did the
paid attention.
No way.
Yes, I did, and I got to sample some of the finest whiskey on the planet.
Oh man,
straight from the tap, and you got to wander down the big hallway with the big wooden, big oak casks, and they were like, "Here, this won't be bottled for 3 years or 4 years." And you're like, "Wow, that's really tasty."
Speaking of whiskey, Shannon and I just went down to Woodinville, Washington.
Hello.
This is the latest and greatest thing. It's they are basically a micro
whiskey brewery.
Yeah, wow. Buddy.
How is it?
So the idea with this is that they do it in smaller barrels,
right?
So that it does its thing
a little quicker.
Quicker.
Yeah.
Now I've spent over $80 or more on like a Bruichladdich Scotch. This is $49. This is
kills it.
Frickin' smooth.
Frickin'.
For hours. I love it. So we went down to their tasting thing. I called ahead to find out if they were going to be open. And Woodinville has tours, but they're only open like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I called on a Tuesday, and they said, "Well, we're here. So if you want to come down, I'm here till 3 o'clock." So we beamed it down.
And you got a private
Seattle.
Tour?
Got a little, well, their tasting room. Yeah. You could see it. Didn't get a tour. But they let me try that, which is the whiskey. Then they have a rye. Then they had a bourbon. And then they also had a white whiskey, which you can take home and dump into your own barrel, which you can buy. And 2 months later, you'll have
really?
That. Yeah, so you got a little tabletop whiskey kit.
Well, they make a butterscotch vodka, too.
Oh, that's right.
How was it?
Very, very good.
Really?
It was all exceptional. So definitely have a sample of that before you go.
Okay.
I bought that one. The bourbon was the one that I loved the most, and I'm less familiar with bourbon. And they were telling me all the info of what to try. You know, what is what the difference is of rye and whiskey and bourbon and all that, and I can't remember any of it. But I bought this because it was a limited edition. And but the bourbon for $45 in Washington State, and it's just really really nice. It's just so smooth. And so they do a thing where we originally saw it, and they had like on a Saturday a couple weeks ago, they have their grand unveiling of it, and people line up 8 o'clock in the morning and get in line to get the first one off the line, and they sold 300 bottles that day.
Oh, it's really nice,
isn't it? Just ridiculously smooth. Just take
smooth.
A sip.
It's really nice. You can tell it's a bourbon, though. It's got that.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's got that touch of a sour mash flavor.
That's what Rick said, too, right?
School me. Bourbon and whiskey and rye.
Rye.
American whiskey is bourbon.
But it's
that's
crust, it's
that,
sour
that's,
mash, and it's a different process, and they only usually put it through once.
Okay.
Right?
But they're using a grain, they're using, they're not using corn. One of them's corn, one of them's not corn.
Corn is not in other ones, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's
one of the distinguishing features of bourbon.
American bourbon.
Where else do they make bourbon?
In the UK, they still make bourbon.
But it's called scotch?
No.
They don't call it bourbon. Right?
Only scotch if it's from Scotland?
It's called rye in Canada.
Yeah, they call it something else.
It's called bourbon
because,
in the States. It's
in
called scotch in Scotland.
No,
it's
in
Scotland, because
no, in Scotland, the process is different. It would be put through the brewing process twice. It's not the brewing process. The
fermenting?
No, where you actually cook it in the oven and it
okay.
And it gets cooked and it goes through and it evaporates, and that's where you get the higher alcohol content. Because each time you're cooking out a little bit more water and a little bit more of the residual stuff that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's smooth, and it smooths out the flavor. It drags it up. Now, the Americans, Jack Daniels,
right?
You know, Wild Turkey. There's a tradition.
Johnny Walker.
No, Johnny Walker is a British, right? British, and it's a Scotch.
You know your stuff, Jimmy.
All right.
Why I called you Jimmy? I don't know.
That's all right, Jimmy.
What'd you call your mustache again?
Creepy Pete.
Creepy Pete. First year I called my mustache Pedro.
Hello, Pedro.
I don't think I named it last year.
No. Pedro 2.
No, I just didn't deserve a name.
No, really?
I was angry at it.
Oh, mustache that did not deserve a name. That's no
Who shall not be named? It was, I don't want to say his name. From Harry Potter. Yeah.
Voldesnort.
Don't say it! God damn it!
I'm not afraid of Voldesnort.
Voldesnort. I get it, because it's close to the nose.
Yeah.
That's a mustache. I get it.
He also genius. Catches your cocaine when it falls out, so you can just do it again. I'm a Voldesnort. That's what mustaches were originally designed for.
Right, for keeping the cocaine?
Yes, to catch the excess cocaine that just kept falling out.
To keep the pebbles out of the stuff on the table.
That's correct. So you didn't have to look through your carpet. Oh, I just look in my stash.
So not just for soup.
That's right. That's why they call it a stash.
Wow.
What is your wife doing in there?
What is she doing in there?
Oh, my God.
The better question is, what isn't she doing?
Oh
my God. Those are deep-fried macaroni balls.
Yeah, they're like deep-fried macaroni balls.
Oh, my God.
They're from Trader Joe's. There's nothing special. But
Josh, wipe the tear out of your eye.
with your deep-fried macaroni.
Deep-fried macaroni ball.
Hello.
Is it good?
Yeah. Duh.
Dip it in your
beer. No, when I say, is it good, I mean, pass the fucking thing over.
Yeah. Is it good? Hoarder.
You put it here.
Yeah, I know. Because
for a reason.
Because she's a good host.
That's right.
An excellent host.
You, on the other hand, not so good.
So, okay. So what I want you to do is try this macaroni ball in a frosted glass first. And then...
Terrible in the frosted glass.
You know, when Budweiser started making their craft, or their macaroni balls...
If they did make macaroni balls, it would be with Kraft.
It is the king of deep-fried macaroni balls, though.
Mm-hmm.
So...
This bud's for you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There was an article today in the Wall Street Journal, and I was supposed to have you guys read it first. It's an article.
Oh, you want to just do some homework?
Do a little rating. Actually, I wanted to do two homework assignments, and one is, did you watch Beer Wars on Netflix yet?
No.
Which is a fucking fantastic documentary about crap brew industry.
Yes, and them trying to get bigger and stuff. I think I have to go back.
Watch it again.
I think I had a couple of beers when I watched it.
Well, that's the way to do it. The article today is in the Wall Street Journal, and it's some guy who's writing about, when I used to go to bars, they used to talk about sports and all this stuff, and now they talk about, all they want to talk about is beer and all this, and I don't have anything to say, and oh, by the way, I don't even drink.
So but then he goes on. Bar?
So he goes out with his friends, and it was a 15-minute conversation with the waiter over some craft beer and the water they use, and blah blah blah, and this. But then he goes and he lists like all these different beer companies and all these different kind of beers and craft beers specifically. So it's like he's done some level of research, but the article is either it's me being funny. I've never read any of the guy's other.
This is
in the Wall Street Journal.
Uh-huh.
And so I just noticed it on Twitter today because people were retweeting it, and everybody was just like, you know, hey, jackass, of course you can't tell the difference between Budweiser and, you know, craft beer because you don't fucking drink. But there is a difference.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the article...
So he's lamenting the snootiness.
Yes. And that he can't go to bars anymore because...
A pretentious environment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Basically, craft beer is now... too popular, and it's everywhere.
Well, that
and I don't think that's
that is that, that is,
well, it's not
I,
everywhere.
You may have a valid point. I mean,
going to a bar is just about conversation.
Yeah, but people having
still
conversations
talk about
sports like doesn't make it snooty.
Of course not, but it's
wow.
But it inevitably happens. Think about how people talk about hipsters, right?
Tattoos.
That hipsters that the way or anything like that. Yeah. The way that people talk about like. I'll just go back to hipsters because that's the track I was on. I mean, certainly the people I hang out with in my early 20s, I think, would nowadays be considered hipsters. Because we sort of identified ourselves by being kind of counterculture and being very kind of particular and, really elitist about our taste.
Right.
In music or whatever. And now it's become mainstream and... So it's easy to criticize it and to like,
and
especially from perhaps people who like being on the outskirts of things. I don't know how this relates to.
Well, no, I think what you're trying. I think what the article is. I guess this guy is alluding to the fact
that
craft beer is becoming very, very mainstream now. and it's just too much for him, even though he doesn't drink. So he's saying that in the article, he can't tell the difference between a Bud Light and some beautiful craft beer.
Right. Well, there's always going to be that person, but there is, right, who's like...
Which either means he just has another rap, palate it's or rap. Whatever. Right.
You know, there's no good rap, there's no bad rap, it's just rap. Yeah, sure, if you're not attuned to the variabilities, or you're not like, you have no sense of the genre, right? Right. Same with, I guess, if you don't like beer, well then all beer is just going to taste the same, right?
Well, in some of the comments about the article, it's just like, why the fuck are you guys publishing this then? Like, what's the point of this article? You're not, you're arguing one thing, but you don't, you know, as a reporter, do you go and gross yourself in the topic and, you know, find out everything about it?
Well, I guess because it is something
should
that's
he start
much,
drinking? I mean, he's not drinking. He's just judging the conversation around him.
I mean, the fact that that you're even doing this podcast around craft beer is indicative of the kind of the growing interest in it. And it is something that's really out there. There's the Van Brewers. There's, you know, all kinds of venues. There's the Legacy liquor store that's opened up with 1,000 different types of beers. But, I mean, no one talks about wine this way. No one talks about wine as... people do. I mean,
well, that was one of the comments about the article.
Like, oh, you're really snooty that you can tell such a big difference between wines. And, you know, this wine, this is that. You know, it's pretentious, it's precocious, it's whatever. But, and they might have a point to an extent. But, of course, there is a wide variety of flavors. And if you're really attuned to anything, like you, just like if you're really into music, then you're going to be really particular.
And I think modern technology, and Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of stuff, I think there's just it's easier now for people, like a home brewing.
It invites people.
Well, and home brewing, for instance, in the topic that we're on, has been going on forever. I mean, my parents built and made wine and beer in our basement for years because it was cost effective.
They just made Budweiser.
Right.
No. Well, no. In reality, that's probably what they would have made because at the time was brewing.
Yeah, they made like whatever.
The home brewing companies didn't have all these subtle flavors. And, you know, you couldn't get porter. You couldn't get a Guinness offshoot back in the day. There was pale ale.
Well, times were tough back then.
It was all snow uphill, no shoes. Had to fight bear with my teeth.
To make beer.
I know. That's my dad, technically. He was the bear and getting uphill, trying to go upstairs because I'd stolen a beer and I tried to escape and it didn't work. But that's another story. Oh, I lost my
metaphor
leg.
Metaphor for life.
That'll be in episode 2. Pint with Mobros.
Exactly. In 3D.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to figure that shit out now.
only 2 weeks, too. God, none of this lazy shit anymore.
But
I think because of, you know, the internet and people's interconnectedness.
Internet? What's that?
The interweb.
Oh.
Or the winter,
the winter web.
The winter web.
The winter
web. It is. The winter net.
I don't want to interrupt, but I just want to note how empty my glass is.
Well,
it has been for a long time.
I'm sorry. There's a bottle of
whiskey.
There's a bottle of
whiskey directly in front of him.
My glass is empty.
I don't know how to get this into there.
My mustache is interfering with my ability.
Mobros, do you want me to have a pint of whiskey?
I would love to drink a pint of whiskey.
Totally worth it.
Do you want
something
new? Oh, no. From the kitchen.
We're already at the 105 mark.
Oh, it's time to wrap this up. Yeah. It's time to wrap this shit up.
We could open it. What this is a bottle
that could be the Catan beer.
From our
It doesn't mean we can't wrap this shit up and drink that while we play Catan.
No, but I'd like to.
Zoinks! Zoinks! Scoop!
This is a beer that our friend Jaylen brought back.
Was the one that you had for
me,
like 2 months or something?
Yeah,
month
that brought back from Texas. She was in Texas and got on the old Facebook and asked me.
Well, let me just get rid of this
beer.
Yeah,
that's wrong. That's inappropriate.
I'm sorry. I thought it was. No, it wasn't.
This is a Belgian style double called Dancing Monks. I've been saving it
for time like this.
Yeah.
Is this the moment?
This is the moment.
Should I be getting
this? Is good. You're gonna hear Ray's cherry pop
juicier.
Just a second. Lean it right in there, buddy.
Oh man.
I got the sexiest voice in the world, but I got a face made for radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Lean it right in there, buddy.
Talk to the microphone.
Wow. Can you describe what the...
He's using his left hand in a semi-rotary up-and-down motion, using his wedding ring to add a little bit of extra grip. Oh. Oh.
That's good. That's good
get
stuff.
A cigar.
Was that Ray's cherry being popped that time?
Your cherry being popped.
Oh. Hey, you're re-cherrying? Nice.
So this beverage is from America.
America?
Texas. That's why it's in such a large bottle.
And it's got a gun.
Well, I didn't get the gun. Where's the gun?
What?
I didn't get the gun. What I did like about this is that...
Dancing, shooting monks.
I like how it says, don't lay the bottle down. Keep the bottle standing.
Especially after opening.
Oh, no!
Josh,
by all means.
Oh.
So first off, thank you, Daylin.
Thank you, Daylin.
Thank
she
you,
brought Daylin. Home,
thank
she
you,
brought,
Texas.
She brought two for me, and I know I did...
Something with the other one.
Rick and I drank it, and
beer
it was
animals?
Very, very good. I can't remember
beer
what it
enema?
Was. I've got it.
Hey, frisky is frisky.
I've got it noted. I've got
everything's
it.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
I've noted right? The other one down.
7.2%. Oh, my God.
A Belgian. So technically, should we have like
the Colombian monks in Kenya could really
Colombian monks
during their annual retreat hosted by Dell at the Navasha House.
Should we have like a slice of orange or some mild citrus to go with this?
I think.
come on, Shannon,
polish your gun.
Hey,
I don't think we have any. Orange.
I've been polishing my gun for 40 something years.
Do we have any Texas toast?
Pulled pork. We need pulled pork. Oh, with this.
Yeah. Hey, what? Damn it! I made some yesterday.
Oh,
get out! Oh wow, that is That's nice. That's crisp.
It is.
Oh, that's nice.
Tasty.
I like it when it goes, you know, it's got a nice, it's crisp, it's cool, and it's got very nice after flavor.
Fruity plum aroma.
Mmm.
Which is odd. I find a lot of beers don't have much. Hoppy seems to be the aftertaste of beer.
Right.
Right?
Especially these days.
These days.
This is nice. This is...
Fruity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the
fruit. Well, it's Belgian, right?
Wow,
so
nice.
The Belgians like their fruity aftertaste, no doubt.
Actually,
and I've been on record as saying I'm not a big fan of the Belgian.
I know, but...
Yeah,
oh, this I quite like.
About,
have you had the delirium
people.
Tremens yet?
But Scott, the Ray Van Detre is a Belgian.
I know, that's part of the reason why I made it. But I believe so. That's
the elephant?
Quebec?
No.
No.
It's Belgian.
What am I
well.
Thinking?
Which one?
The delirium tremens. With the pink
elephant
on it.
I don't know.
Quite
then
similar
possibly
to this
I have not.
If memory serves.
Memory serves well.
That is really nice.
That is really,
really,
really nice.
Intense.
I don't know.
You like Belgian beer more than you think. I think you haven't had enough.
It's probably
the
just
thing
like,
is, you love that pyramid apricot ale. And it doesn't get fruitier than that.
I...
No, same isn't it?
Don't...
No, there's that pyramid.
I don't love... I had it on draft and it was
that,
great.
You were drinking that a heap from.
No, I was drinking the Kona
passion fruit.
Passion fruit.
Oh,
that's
that
a great,
other
that,
fruity one.
Yeah, that's
right.
A
okay.
Better beer.
Okay,
the
but,
apricot,
but,
apricot,
but,
apricot,
but,
apricot,
but,
apricot,
but,
apricot, but
is
but
is good.
Hugely fruity.
Oh, it is hugely fruity.
Yeah, so I'm just
and
I'm
better
just
on and
different kind of fruit though.
Different kind
Belgian
of fruit.
Beers tend to be kind of a.
I'm just
wheat
saying
fruit.
He.
Likes the fruit of beer.
Fair enough.
I like
when,
this.
When it's done
a,
well.
There's an apricot beer that is made by a French-Canadian brewery.
St. Ambrose?
Yes, St. Ambrose.
St. Ambrose.
It's awesome. I mean, I can't I can't drink it forever. Like, it wouldn't be the constant beer. But in the summer,
there's
very
time
hot.
And a place.
And you know what? Weirdly enough, and I wouldn't recommend this with any other beer, it's really good on ice. Because part of that, actually, it might be a beer that would benefit from being in a chilled glass. Because I find if you keep the ice in it, the apricot flavor sticks around longer.
Interesting.
Because if you put it in a glass,
yep.
I find when you get about 2/3 of the way through, it's just beer. Like
right.
The apricot flavor, for whatever reason, has sort of, I don't know, infused with the air around it.
Mm.
We just came full circle.
We did come full circle. Beautiful. Beautiful. All
right. Well,
one last time. We are doing November. If you want to donate to the team... I'll have the link on our website. I believe the link is mobro.co/secondhandmustache. If you want to donate to me, it's same thing, but /Scott Smith.
But you should donate to me.
You should totally donate to Josh.
Or Ray.
Because
we have no money so
and
far.
And Ray.
Yeah. Which would be under Mo City Madness. Or Ray. spelled with a W, just to confuse everybody.
So that's monroe.co/mocitymadness. I'll put up the links on the post when I put this up so people can click on that. Wouldn't it be amazing if people gave like $5 to each of us?
That would be super amazing. Because really, you're not giving the money to us.
Yeah.
You are, in fact, just simply using
it to our testicles.
No, it's not our testicles.
Oh,
it's our
testicles
neighbor.
Yeah. Right, right.
The other side. Lives next door.
Oh, one of my favorite jokes. There you have it.
But if you want to donate money to my testicles, you can reach me at.
That's another website.
Yes, and that one costs $4.99 a month.
That is called Balvember, and that is coming up next month.
Coming
you
up on your
You can find
chin.
It on the Winterweb. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You want to come back in 2 weeks?
Yes, I do.